Number here at the station is 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. As always, you've just got me. I mean, all I can do is just try to answer whatever questions you may have. But what I have is, and this is going to be, you're going to take this as either very negative, you're not going to like it, or you're going to be glad that you heard it. I think I'm in the latter of the two because I thought to myself just a while ago, over the last 30 years that I have had a hand in being involved in healthcare, I have seen three babies die immediately after receiving vaccines. And so I'm not the one making this up. I'm just reading this to you. Okay. There is an island, a U.S. territory. It's called Samoa. Let me read this to you. The Samoan government has ordered doctors to stop administering a vaccine protecting against measles, mumps, and rubella. The nationwide halt was requested after two babies died minutes after receiving the MMR vaccine on July the 6th, 2018. So, folks, this is a brand new story. The babies were rushed to Safotu Hospital in Savaii, but couldn't be saved. The first baby, a one-year-old girl, died within 3 minutes of being injected with a vaccine. This is what TV1 Samoa reported. 2 hours later, if that wasn't bad enough, yeah, I know, 2 hours later, a second family brought in their one-year-old boy to be vaccinated, but they refused to go through with it after hearing about the earlier death. I mean, that's about as fresh as you can get. So they heard about the little girl dying, and they said, no, you're not doing that. Of course, here's what happened, though. I know this sounds horrible. The nurse allegedly injected the boy without the parents' consent, and he died within 1 minute. This is a horrible story. I don't know all the connections to it, but I think it's safe to say that if you were to do a literature search today and type in MMR, that stands for measles, mumps, and rubella, you'd find out this may be one of the greatest cover-ups of all time. Okay? Very scary. I think it's actually the measles part that does it. If you wanted to get on Amazon.com today and just click on the heading Books for Sale, it's a pretty easy website to maneuver around. I know there's other websites, probably fabulous. I'm just thinking of simplicity. And you scroll down to the category that pertains to natural health or alternative medicine or health care, and you typed on that one, and you typed in vaccines. And just typed in vaccines. That's all you do. What if you didn't even type in books pro-vaccine books versus books that give you lots of scientific information and stories that have a much different point of view? Maybe you can say that they're books that actually warn people against vaccines. Well, I already know what that's going to look like because I've done that a whole bunch. It's going to be pitiful few books promoting vaccination. And there's going to be a whole bunch of books that promote exactly the opposite. So sometimes you have to do your own research, and you have to study for yourself. I was reading in the Bible this morning in the book of 1 Kings. Maybe it was 2 Kings, never mind. But it's about Solomon. And you remember how God came, presented himself to Solomon in a dream, and he asked him for anything that he would request. And I guess you could say, well, he could have chosen riches, or he could have chosen that his enemies be destroyed. I have never personally had a thought like that. I don't have any enemies. And if I did, I sure wouldn't want to destroy them. But sometimes tornadoes come up in the town of White House, and those things happen. That's just a joke. I'm sorry. And so he didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for riches. He just asked for wisdom and a discerning heart that he might be able to rule the people. I think that's very inspirational. Asking for wisdom. And of course, the next verse that I read was over in the book of James. I think it's chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. If any lacks wisdom, let him ask. It may be that you're thinking about starting a family. It may be that you're thinking about, I'm pregnant now, and what am I going to have, a little boy or a little girl? Well, these are legitimate questions that you can ask. And I think the days of just taking blanket statements from authorities as being the all-knowing, you know, we have all the answers, there's never any side effects, I think those days are over. I think yesterday is only an example, but on Friday at the office, one comment a woman made to me was, oh no, this can never have any side effects. It's not going to be a problem at all. No, this drug doesn't do that. And then later in the day, another lady I talked to on the phone, she was asking me about a blood thinner with her little girl. And she asked the doctor, are there any side effects? He goes, no, never. But she asked the nurse to print out the info sheet on the drug. And of course, there's just about a million side effects. What if you have a child, or you're an adult, that you know that your body is sensitive to the way it responds to medications? Well, you'd be wise to take a step back and look at the things you're taking. So much of the research shows specifically that if you're taking more than two drugs, there's a chance that drug number 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 that's added to the list of drugs is only to counter the side effects from the first two. You probably think I'm making this up. Okay. Second article. This comes from USA.org, and it's called HPV Vaccine Preventing Your Pregnancy. It was accessed on July the 16th, 2018. And here it is. It's not long, but just think about this. Consider it. You want to be healthy. You want your wife to be healthy and radiant and strong. And you want to have beautiful, healthy children, right? An Alliance for Natural Health, they're called ANH, they report highlights of a new study showing that women aged 25 to 29 who receive the HPV vaccine, they have a much lower probability of becoming pregnant. I wonder if that's ever discussed before they insert the needle into the woman receiving the vaccine. Ma'am, you will not get pregnant near as easy. If you're planning on kids, this may not be for you. I've never heard that. They go on and continue by stating, the U.S. government's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is called VAERS, that's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. That means if you've taken a vaccine and you've had a bad side effect, then you contact them. Which I bet you, here's a number right here. 57,287 women have reported adverse events from the vaccine. Now you're probably saying, well, Dr. Morgan, what do you mean adverse event? Well, there is a number that has been reported. That's 419. Do you know what the word that I'm going to put behind the number 419? That's the word death, or I should say death. So, would you say that's a pretty adverse event to getting the Gardasil vaccine? I would. Only 419 women are dead. Are you kidding me? Life is precious. Oh, it's precious. I don't want one child dying, one woman dying. They go on to write that a World Health Organization study demonstrated that the vaccine has a tendency to produce clusters of serious adverse events. Well, isn't that interesting? The American College of Pediatricians, they raise concerns that the vaccine could be linked to premature ovarian failure. Listen, baby, if you want to have a baby, you don't want your ovaries burning out and failing you. According to a former Merck representative, he said that Gardasil, I'm quoting him, it will become the greatest medical scandal of all time. Well, I would probably interject and say maybe cholesterol drugs might end up being the greatest scandal of all time, but that's just my opinion. And he goes on to say that it serves no other purpose than to generate profit for the manufacturer, and like some other vaccines, it can cause Guillain-Barré syndrome. I don't really remember the story, but I think I saw in the news that the Dallas Cowboys, their starting center, is not able to participate because he's had an autoimmune reaction called Guillain-Barré. And folks, you may be listening to me and say, autoimmune reaction, Guillain-Barré, what is that? Since I can't pronounce that, don't understand, it can't happen to me. Well, contraire. Well, the dude's got paralysis and lack of feeling in his limbs and nerves, and he can't play. They're also showing that this vaccine can induce multiple sclerosis and encephalitis. Ooh, that doesn't sound good. The Alliance for Natural Health, they ask readers to consider that for women who have already been exposed to certain strains of the HPV virus, that the vaccination actually increases the risk of precancerous lesions by 44%. To put this in perspective, 79 million Americans are infected with HPV. I didn't even know what that number was. I don't know about y'all, but the number 79 million, that's like a big number. The human papillomavirus? I'm just curious, is this transmitted sexually? Yes. Maybe that gives you something to think about there. There's about 14 million are newly infected each year. And so if you say currently that there's 79 million Americans that have this human papillomavirus that's spread by sexual contact, and there's about 14 million newly infected cases each year, well, let me see. Where's my calculator? What's 79? All right, you already know what I was going to do. Let me just round it off, and this is not proper statistics 101. In 10 years, that means there's going to be 140. Actually, it's probably going to be a heck of a lot more than that. Let's just say there'll be... Why don't you just say in 10 years, just about everybody in America is going to have this viral, this sexually transmitted infection. Oh, my goodness. I hope you're nervous for your children. I sure am. The CDC, who members established the vaccine policies in the U.S., says that HPV is so common that almost every person who is sexually active will get HPV sometime in their lifetime. The question is, do you want the fox guarding the hen house? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I need to ask you a question.
Okay.
Is it a good idea for the fox to guard the hen house?
I would say that would be a no.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure on the answer, but I feel a little bit better about it now. Well, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing very well.
Oh, good. It's really good to hear your voice.
It is wonderful to hear your voice as well. I really miss visiting with you.
Well, you're visiting with me right now, so we'll call it good.
All right. Hey, I've got a question. I've just now tuned in the radio. I'm at work on my way to a location. But I have a friend who you have seen, a young friend of mine who you have seen, who were concerned of a possibility of ulcers. Is there something, I'm going to ask the question, that we can oversimplify and easy and not expensive that we can do to help?
Yeah. Here's my answer.
Okay.
I
think it's caused by nerves.
What about your nerves?
I think it is caused by a lot of things going on that are causing his nerves to be crazy.
I mean, any time that a person says, I just feel horrible on the inside, I don't feel good, then mm-hmm. you can say it's nerves, okay?
He's vomiting a lot as well.
Oh, bless his heart. Well, here's how we're going to put a stop to all that. Number one, when you go to the health food store, they have a product called aloe vera gel. It's not the liquid.
Aloe vera gel, okay.
Yeah, it's not the liquid. It's not the juice. That would have some benefit, but aloe vera gel, that has got to be one of the most amazing products of all time. The other day I was reading an article about what kind of plant do you put in your house if you're trying to you know, neutralize toxic outgassing of glues and paints and varnishes and chemicals and
right.
stuff. And guess which one they said was just about the best?
Aloe vera plant.
You're a genius. A genius, I'm telling you.
I'm but being led by a genius. What can I tell you?
No, that was not a leading question, sir. That was just testing you to see what you're made of. But no, the aloe vera plant.
But I made it up.
That's right, you did. I can't argue with that. So, aloe vera gel,
uh-huh.
and there's a lot of ways to do this, but my recommendation is there is a, where he lives, they probably don't have a drug emporium, do they?
No, sir.
Would it be a little bit hard for him to get on his 10-speed bicycle with a basket on the front and drive to Drug Emporium here in Jacksonville?
I would love if he could drive to Drug Emporium here in Tyler.
Oh, well, there's really not one in Jacksonville. I don't even know why I said that. But
I don't either.
There's another product that they have. And, you know, one of the most valuable parts of my education is just getting feedback from people because I think, hey, this is a living being, this is a living human being. I can learn by their feedback. But there's a refrigerated product. It's a probiotic, and it's in a glass bottle, and I think they charge $4.89 for it or something like that. It's called Gut Shots.
Gut Shots?
Mm-hmm. Which describes the way, according to my aim, how I would shoot a deer, probably. I would not. It would not be a clean kill. It'd probably be a gut shot. I'm joking.
You're bad.
I know. But the product is called Gut Shots, and they have several flavors, and every human being's different. They have one that's super spicy called kimchi. I think they have one that's got garlic and pickles. And yeah, I can sense over the radio you are licking your lips and salivating as we speak.
Talking
about garlic and pickle juice, right?
Yeah, okay.
And they have another one that's called Ginger Beet, and that's the one that I'm going to recommend for your friend.
Okay.
And so all I want him to do is he's going to, like, glunk, glunk, glunk out about 3 to 4 ounces of the aloe vera gel.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to put that gut shot in there, like a good, healthy splash of it. I don't know.
Okay, and you said gut shot with the beet flavoring?
Yeah.
Okay, with beets in it? Okay.
Well, the beets are the flavoring, as he'll find out.
Right, exactly, right.
And tell him it's okay to splash it on his T-shirt as long as the T-shirt's white, because from what I can tell, beet juice doesn't really have strong pigments that won't come out of a white T-shirt ever.
Yeah, right.
But I have no really personal knowledge of spilling beet juice on anything white, so how would I know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So if he'll kind of stir that up, and if he needs to add something else to it, he can. But if I think if he sipped on that throughout the day, we would start to heal these ulcers very, very quickly. And the next thing, this is going to be probably a kind of a bizarre, you know, you're probably going to question my intelligence once I tell you what to do, but I'm still going to tell you.
Okay.
One of the old techniques is to take a spoonful of cayenne pepper, and
uh-huh.
I'm thinking the spoonful needs to be like a quarter of a teaspoon to make it small.
Like an eighth of a teaspoon?
Yeah. If you stir that into some yogurt
uh-huh.
or cottage cheese, it's going to be like a spicy form of yogurt. And the old-time doctors would say this. Actually, you didn't know I was old, did you?
No, you're not old, because I've got you beat, buddy.
Well, you know, I'm thinking personally. I may almost have seniority here in Jacksonville.
Well,
anyway, I shouldn't have bragged. That was kind of arrogant and proud. Forgive me. I will humble myself.
Forgive it.
But you take the cayenne pepper and you stir it in the yogurt, like a full-fat yogurt, and then you
uh-huh.
eat that. And the old-time doctors would say that would coat the ulcer, and the cayenne pepper, you're probably thinking it's going to be like salt on a wound, but it actually helps that to heal very, very quickly.
Really?
And
yeah, I was kind of going for salt in the wound.
Well, it may seem that way, but then again, he lives in Chicago, and I'm here in Jacksonville, and so if he gets really upset, I mean, all I can do is hear him yell and scream at me. It's not going to really affect me at all.
It affects me, though.
Oh, I really didn't think that through. And so the other thing that I want you to consider, and just kind of trust me on this, one of the quickest ways to get all the inflammation out of the gut, and let's just agree that when you have ulcers anywhere in your esophagus or your stomach, or your small intestine, or your bowels, let's just agree that there's just horrible inflammation, and I agree with you totally.
Right.
It's just all, right. I mean, if anybody understands this, I think I'm understanding it quite well right now.
Right.
That stress will destroy you.
It
angst
will.
And anxiety and worry and fear will just rip you to shreds.
Yeah.
And so what I want him to do is just for about 3 to maybe 7 to 10 days is just only eat fish for food.
Okay, that might not be a possibility.
Well, I meant at gunpoint.
Well, where is that? And
that would motivate anybody.
Yeah.
If I baked some flounder and covered it with butter and salt and pepper and put it in front of him, I would take the 12
gauge.
Oh, he
would love it.
Well, that's all you got to do. That's it.
It's getting it to him or getting him to it.
Oh, gotcha.
It's more of an issue than I want to go to on the phone.
No, I'm sorry. But my heart was in the right place.
It was definitely in the right place.
And so if you can't get the aloe vera gel in the liquid form that you keep refrigerated, then you go to the aloe vera gel capsules.
Okay.
And there's another substance that I'm going to recommend because of what you just described to me. It's called DGL. That's like David, Goliath, and the name Larry.
Okay.
Out of those three names, which one's your favorite? David, Goliath, or Larry?
I'm going with David.
I knew you would. Now, if it was JBL, would you prefer the name Jezebel, Billy, or Larry? Which one of those is your favorite name?
Probably Billy or Larry.
You didn't go with the Jezebel?
No, I'll pass on that one.
Have you ever heard of somebody named Jezebel?
Biblically, in the Bible thing, yeah.
Was she a good person, or maybe not so much?
Maybe not so much.
Okay, so they have a product called DGL, David Goliath Larry.
DGL, okay.
And that stands for D-glycyrrhizinated licorice root.
Let's go with DGL.
let's go with DGL. But if he could take that in the form of a tablet or a capsule, that will help coat and heal the ulcer very, very quickly.
Okay, so we could really shoot that. And I'm just trying to find easy and most economical, because the finances, of course, are not.
No, and these are going to be more economical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you couldn't find that, then we could go with slippery elm, or we could go with marshmallow root.
I wish he was here, because I'd just drop him off at your office.
Are you kidding? I would just totally take over.
I know you would. And
I would say, let you handle it. I would say, dude, you will obey every command I place in front of theeth, noweth.
And he would.
Yeah, he would.
He really would.
He's a good boy.
He is a very good boy, and yeah.
And even more importantly, he's God's creation.
Amen to that.
What does that mean when it says all of my parts were recorded in the book before I was born?
That means he knows us inside and out, and he created us.
Oh, my goodness. I think that's brilliant. You probably hear the word brilliant in context with your name frequently throughout the day, don't you?
Only when I talk to you.
I was going to say, that's about the only time I hear it either, when I talk to you. Listen, you call me anytime. I always feel a little bit smarter when you call.
Well, good. I'm glad I can be of help.
Hey, thank you for your phone call, and give all my love to your friend.
I will.
And tell him, say, it's going to be okay. And right now, you know where the battle really is?
Yeah.
I realize I'm stating the obvious, but this is just one spiritual battle. It's all in the mind or the heart.
It is.
I think if he focused on reading things like Psalm 34 and Psalm 37 and Psalm 91, if he just kind of started chewing and eating those for his food, I think those ulcers would start to go away. And the other thing, the more water he drinks, the faster these ulcers will heal.
Okay.
I mean, how does that affect me if he has to urinate 35 times a day instead of just two?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean,
there you go.
I'm trying to help him.
You are, and you are a huge help.
Thanks.
And I appreciate you greatly.
You're welcome. Take care, buddy. Thanks for your call.
All righty. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. I know that is not the most popular thing to talk about when it comes to babies dying after getting the MMR vaccine, but you know what? You just might want to consider these things, especially if you've had a history of having any health issues. You know, sometimes you don't find out until you learn the hard way that when the body's in a weakened state, you stress it just a little bit more. You can kind of push it over the edge, and that's not good. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Did you realize I did this show just for you today?
That's very nice of you.
You're welcome.
I'm visiting my mother, who is 87.
Missing or visiting?
Visiting.
Okay.
In Canada. And...
Okay, hey.
She had a hospital stay, and I've been helping her get back on her feet. One of her big issues is she does not sleep well at night.
That's a big issue.
It is huge. And I've been doing a lot of stuff with her, including drinking a lot of water to help get the toxins out that acquired in the hospital. But...
You notice I didn't make any comments about hospital and toxins. Moving right along.
Moving right along. She's drinking about 2 liters of water a day, and she finishes that pretty early, about noon. But she pees all night. She gets up about every 2 hours.
Well, what we're going to do, and this is going to be very, very simple. This is just one small part of the equation. But when you go to the health food store in Canada, do they have health food stores there?
They do.
There's a version of natural salt called Celtic or Celtic salt.
Okay.
And what your mom is going to do is she's going to take her index finger, hopefully it's clean, and she's going to wet that on her tongue, and then she's going to take some Celtic salt dust that's on a teacup saucer right beside her bed, and she's going to touch the salt. And whatever salt comes off on her finger, she's going to put that on her tongue and she's going to suck on it.
Okay.
Every night before she goes to bed. And when she gets back up in the middle of the night, she's going to lick her finger again. But, I mean, if you're right beside her, it's not going to bother me if she licks your finger and then you... Never mind. We'll stick with what your mom's doing. But if she can start doing that, she'll start to see a significant change, because when water enters the body, it doesn't do just whatever it wants. It's completely under the authority of different systems. And I know this is kind of a bizarre concept, but a lot of the water is gone from the glass to a structured format. So it actually forms a structure. I did not say I completely understand this. That would be a tremendous misrepresentation of God's highly sophisticated creation. But in order for water to have structure and to go where it's supposed to go instead of just running through you like a sieve, you must have minerals. And you must also have an element called sulfur.
Okay.
And so there's 2 or 3 things that we can do. We can use Celtic salt on all the food that she's eating. There's another form of salt that we could probably get away with. It's called Redmond sea salt. And we could probably even get away with Himalayan salt if you can't find Celtic. But in my experience, see, you didn't realize that I have tremendous genius qualities because I ask intelligent questions. Ma'am, did you sleep better with the Celtic salt? And if they say yes, I go, oh, man, I'm smart. So if you did that, but your mama probably has a very severe sulfur deficiency. And that's extremely common when someone's been under tremendous amounts of stress. And maybe the way that I want to present it to you is the more stress that the human organism is under, whether it's mental or emotional, and if she's been in the hospital, she has been under stress. Are you kidding me? I bet you anything, part of the sleep problem is them waking her up as soon as she falls asleep going, time to check your blood pressure, Mrs. What's your last name?
Mom.
Mrs. Mom? Mrs. Mom, time to check your blood pressure. And then she drifts back off to sleep. Mrs. Mom, we got to do a blood test. We're going to do a urinalysis. Time to flip the sheets while you're asleep. Anything. It's just maddening. And so she needs sulfur. And so maybe an easy one is just giving her what's called MSM. Unless there's a volcano next door that we can just lick some of the volcanic, you know, ash. I'm not against that myself. Of course, it smells like rotten eggs. What?
I don't think there's any volcanoes here.
I thought you said Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Canada was the land of volcanoes.
Not where we are.
Oh. Are there any volcanoes in Canada?
Not sure.
Well,
probably.
It'd probably be where there's some like mountain range on the far west coast, right?
Well, that's where I am.
You are on the west coast?
I am.
Is that called Vancouver?
Farther west.
British Columbia?
Yeah, we're on the island.
Oh, Vancouver Island?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say you're in the Pacific Ocean in a dinghy right now. You're not in the ocean, are you?
No.
Do you think she would eat fish if you caught it off the, you know, a trot line?
She would.
I think that's one thing that we've got to give her, some real concentrated nutrition. It's the only hope for restoring the body. And so fish is excellent. So your husband has nothing better to do today than to take his Zebco rod and reel down to the coast with about a 6-pound test line and see if he can hook a 385-pound halibut, and y'all could eat on that for like a good day or two.
Okay.
So we need to give her forms of food that her body can digest and extract the nutritional energy from it, and fish is very nutritionally dense. You know, there's a rumor that when people eat fish, they feel better. You ever heard that rumor before?
I have.
I think I
We've actually had some fish since I've been here, but it stank up the whole house for days.
Well, I mean, if you pick up a catfish on the side of the road that's been out of the water for a while, it's just not going to smell good.
They don't have a lot of catfish up here.
Do you know what? I have had more people tell me from up in the northern area, the most delicious fish of all time is walleye. Do y'all have any walleye up there?
There's a lot of salmon.
Could your husband go out in the stream where they're running up the stream and just push the grizzly out of the way and grab a couple?
No. He's in Texas.
Well, he can't drive up this weekend and do that?
No.
Okay, so if your mom is having a hard time sleeping, we got to change your fluid dynamics, because this is not going to work if she has to get up a million times a night to urinate. So start adding Celtic salt. Cook her a fish fillet, but you need to just choose fish that doesn't stink. That's probably going to be flounder or cod or haddock or halibut or pollock or whitefish. That doesn't stink. And so,
okay.
Lemon juice, all the butter that you want. We got to give her lots and lots and lots of butter. Celtic salt, use any spices. That sounds good. Probably since you're on Vancouver Island, they probably have a healthy supply of that Louisiana spice called Tony Satchery's Creole Seasoning. Or maybe they don't. But she can add whatever flavor she wants to it. And I think the more fish that we eat, these are actually all the building blocks of the nerves and the brain tissue. I'd probably like fry her about 10 eggs right now and just peel the yolks out, leave them a little bit runny, and give her those. That's pure brain food. The reason why we want Celtic salt is because it has a rich mineral base of magnesium. And magnesium is a substance that helps relax the nervous system, helps calm it down. I can only imagine your poor mother is probably completely exhausted. She's probably on the edge of nervous exhaustion. Is that correct?
Quite possibly. I think she's on 4 different types of magnesium.
That could be the world record. 4 types of magnesium.
Yeah, I've That's one thing I got as soon as I got here.
Well,
so she's got magnesium glycinate, and then she's got another version that's in her multivitamin, and then another one on the shelf, and then Calm.
Okay. Does any of those work really well at helping her sleep?
I've been here a month, and she's probably had 4 or 5 nights where she's slept some.
There is a mineral called potassium. When you're low in potassium, you're going to urinate all night long. Potassium is known as an electrolyte. It's a stronger electrolyte or more potent than what magnesium is. But when you have a potassium deficiency, it just water runs through you like a, might as well be a stream up in the mountain coming down. Can't stop it.
But she doesn't during the day. It's just at night.
What does that have to do with anything? I'm telling you how this works. And so that's why I recommended flounder for her, because flounder is extremely rich in potassium. See, technically, her kidneys are supposed to be completely taking a nighty-night nappy time at 10 o'clock to 6 a.m. They're not supposed to be up and moving. But see, her kidneys are so wired up, they're working like crazy trying to detox her and run urine through her. How much does she get out in the sunshine during the day?
I mean, it's quite a bit.
Good.
But it's cold, so she's not exposed a whole lot.
Well, just maybe her hands and face then, right?
Yep.
What do you mean cold? It's going to be 88 here today. How could it be cold up there?
It froze 2 nights ago.
You mean there was frost on the pumpkins?
Frost everywhere.
Cool.
Well, very cool.
And so she needs some help for her kidneys. We got to kind of calm the kidneys down. And so one option that you have is about a half a teaspoon of baking soda and a little bit of water. You might have to do that twice a day. If that doesn't yield any benefits, then what we'll do is we'll take a pinch of the Celtic salt, a pinch of it, and put in every glass of water that she drinks. So if she's drinking 2 liters of water, I've got a bottle of water in front of me. It says right now it's 1 pint, 9.3 ounces, 750 mils, so it's 3/4 of a liter. But she just puts a pinch of the Celtic salt in that. If it were me, I would start giving her gut shots. The gut has almost everything to do with what stresses the kidneys. And so there's a common condition. Sometimes it's called leaky gut syndrome or hyperpermeable gut. It allows far too much debris to pass straight through the intestines into the bloodstream. And guess who's left with all the cleanup? Yeah, that's right, the kidneys are. So to take a break off the kidneys, we might want to kind of start soothing the gut a little bit. If she's having perfectly well-formed, smooth, generous bowel movements, then I'm probably completely wrong about this. But if her BM stink, I would say there's a problem. So my goal is, I didn't say they ever smell like roses. That's not what I meant. But you would know what would happen when you have things putrefying and turning rancid inside of you and rotting. And so you could always give your mother gut shots. I would go, if it were me, I would go to more of a strict full fish diet for the next 3 days to see what happens. I wouldn't eat anything else.
Okay.
Got nothing to lose. You could always try having her walk barefoot in the snow. That's been shown to calm the kidneys down. I mean, the last time I checked, Sasquatch does it. And he is there on Vancouver Island. Is that correct?
Haven't seen him.
But if I'm not mistaken, they have filmed many beef jerky commercials on Vancouver Island, and I don't know how they could do it unless Bigfoot's there.
Okay.
And so we need to calm your mom's kidneys down to where they're not so active at night. And one of the ways of doing that is going more of a high-fat, moderate-protein diet for a few days to see if there's a benefit. And so if somebody were to go to the... Can I use a boy or a man as my example? That way I won't be picking on your mom.
Sure.
By the way, I love mothers. I think they're fabulous. if a little boy is out in the woods on Vancouver Island and there's a bunch of pine needles behind the pine tree and he goes tee-tee, well, if it's just clear urine and you don't see anything on the pine needles but urine, that's pretty good urine. That's pretty good quality urine right there. But what if the little boy goes tee-tee and it's like all foamy and bubbly, like somebody put a drop of Dawn dishwashing liquid on the pine needles and it all bubbles and foams up? And since you're not a guy, you may not know this, but do you have a concept of what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so when your mother goes to urinate, that might be one question that I might ask. I might ask, is it kind of bubbly and foamy in the potty at all? Or is it just completely clear? But if she tried just a completely strict all-fish diet for about 3 or 4 days, we might start to kind of get a handle on this, because her urine would probably become a little bit more clear. And the nice thing about this is this will completely give her digestive tract a complete rest. And if you're not eating all the different types of sugars and starches and carbohydrates that are found in fruits and vegetables and grains or anything that grows from the soil, then you're giving your body a rest. Sometimes it's good to give the body a rest. You've heard of fasting before, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, you're just fasting from vegetables and fruits and grains. And she will not die on this. I mean, I hope she doesn't die. Tell your mom I love her. I don't want her to die.
And okay.
So, if she can eat just meat only, we're giving her digestive tract a rest. We're going to see if it starts the healing process. I mean, I would not be against you right now going to the meat market and saying, this is an interesting looking meat right here. What is that? And they say, that's calf kidney and calf heart. Would you like some, ma'am? I'd love some. You got to give the body what it needs to heal. And so meat is absolutely the most nutrient-dense nutritional substance on earth. And so if your mom says, I'm craving calf liver, then go give her some. Saute it in a cast iron skillet with butter. Put the Celtic salt on it. If she loves Tony Satchery's Creole seasoning, she can use that. That doesn't even sound right. It does on a fish, but not on liver. But if you took and gave her a beef heart right now or a beef kidney and just kind of scored it, braised it around the skillet and said, Mom, I got something delicious for you to eat, she would say, Heather, my sweet daughter, you are the most amazing child of all time. You have devoted yourself to helping me. God bless you. And she would start to feel better.
Alrighty.
We have to find a way to get her stronger.
So you're talking meat and eggs with the yolk as being more fat than protein?
Mm-hmm. Last time I checked. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, if you break down the composition of an egg, it's probably somewhere between 65 to 67% pure fat, and the rest of it's protein. So actually, eggs have more fat. I mean, technically, mother's breast milk is mainly made of fat. I mean, do you think God made a huge mistake if he wants a beautiful baby to grow and to be healthy? I'm just saying, let's imitate that. Now, a lady asked me yesterday if I wanted her to start breastfeeding. I said, no, that's really not what I had in mind. I don't know why they laughed at me. Sometimes people mock me to my face in the office, and they laugh at my ideas, even though sometimes I think, this is pure brilliance. They're going to really dig this. And then they laugh at me. But my point was, you want to consume more fat than anything else. See, the basic bottom line is, whatever your mom's dealing with, she's got a boatload of inflammation. And so I don't know that I have to be the smartest physician that's ever lived. If you said, what's the cause of diabetes? And I'd say, too much inflammation. Well, what about arthritis? Again, too much inflammation. What about kidney disease? There is too much inflammation. What if a person can't sleep at night? Well, we got too much inflammation. And so what I'm telling you is going to get rid of that inflammation by giving her egg yolks and eggs. And you can put all the butter that you want on anything. Rub butter all over her lips. Make her lick her lips. Even I'm getting hungry thinking about this. I've actually talked myself into eating some fat for breakfast. I can tell where you are right now. I've heard you walk from your bedroom all the way to the kitchen because I just heard the burner go on. And you've got butter in the skillet right now. Am I correct?
Sorry.
You're supposed to play along with me. And so, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Give your mother fish that's high in fat. And see, the advantage is all yours. You've got it a million times better than the rest of us. I don't live on Vancouver Island. If I did, I'd be taking, like, electric wires and shocking the salmon. Oh, wait, is that against the law? Nah, scratch that. No, I would catch them the legal way. And so, start giving your mother those native, wonderful resources that God has provided for her. Give her halibut and cod and whatever other fish comes in on the fishing vessels. I bet you could walk down to the fish market, couldn't you?
Yes.
You could also spend a lot of money at the fish market, couldn't you? Now, is your mother going to say I'd like some squid sushi?
Probably not.
That doesn't sound like
not
anything I'd want
to eat.
And so, start just feeding her exclusively fish. Make it taste delicious. Use a ton of butter on it. You can use a ton of butter. She's going to say, Heather, my dear, this is the most delicious thing I've ever had before. If Elijah was running for his life on Vancouver Island from Queen Jezebel, he would collapse under an evergreen tree and say, Lord, it is enough. I am no better than my fathers. And he would wake up to an angel preparing halibut with a jar of water by his head. But he was in the desert, so they had a cake of wheat instead, or bread. Oh, don't give her any vegetables. None.
Okay.
I can hear in your voice, you're quite perplexed and puzzled by what I'm saying. Is that correct?
Oh, no, I've been doing a lot of... We've had bacon and eggs every morning. Pretty much for a month.
Well, fish is the easiest one to digest.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also been doing what?
Vegetables.
Well, just put it to the
test. With a lot of fat on them.
Good. Put it to the test and see how this works for your mama. And if you can give her some gut shots several times a day and some aloe vera gel, we can start to repair this gut and it won't be leaking like a sieve toward her kidneys. I mean, the kidneys can only take so much. And her kidneys are exactly 87 years, 123 days, 7 hours and 17 minutes and 30 seconds old. That's their age. So we've got to do whatever we can to get them back in good working order.
Alrighty.
So run down to the meat market and get some kidneys and cook them for her and let her eat them. She can call me later today at the radio station and thank me for this information.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your phone call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See, this is an international program. I mean, Vancouver Island, dude. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I know, I talked a lot, but maybe you can kind of glean something from all that. But if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. Good morning. Thank you for your phone call.
I was wondering if you can tell me some supplements that would be good to take to make your brain more healthy if you were having some memory problems.
Okay.
Or foods, foods also.
This morning, before I got on the radio, I was studying one unique topic. It was called autism. And the other topic I studied was called dementia or Alzheimer's. And so this is only an idea, and I want you to consider it thoughtfully. There is a substance that a lot of times is treated like it's the deadliest thing on earth. It is not. It's called cholesterol. And when you have plenty of sulfur in your body makes what's called cholesterol sulfate. But see, when I studied that research from the 1960s when they first started studying this topic, they would find that when a person had perfect brain function, that they would measure a form of cholesterol called cholesterol sulfate. Now, just out of curiosity, has your doctor ever talked to you about cholesterol sulfate?
No.
Am I the only one to broach this topic?
Yes.
Oh, good. Then I get to do whatever I want since you hadn't heard anything about it. And so they have discovered that when somebody has dementia or Alzheimer's or, and I'm not 100% sure about this, but you know there's several classifications of degenerative brain diseases where they just lose their memory. There's just too many to list, but I'm just going to say dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Fair enough?
Yes.
When they measure them from cholesterol sulfate, they don't have any. Personally, man, I'm going to jump all over that action like a duck on a June bug or like a chicken on a beetle or whatever. I would be nuts if I didn't try to talk to you about cholesterol and sulfur. I would just be crazy. When they have tested children's blood and brains when they have autism, and we're talking about severe cases here where they just cannot function, they are always severely deficient in cholesterol sulfate. Always. So I have a sales pitch for you. Sulfur is an element that's very, very abundant in the human body. I don't even know which one it is. Is it like the third most abundant or the fourth or the fifth? But it's really abundant. And because it's so abundant, every doctor that I know of, they don't even give it any thought or any consequence. But what I want to do is I want to paint a little picture for you here or give you a different scenario. We've got to have sulfur, and those sulfation pathways have to work well in order to make sure that we have perfect radiant health. And so they've discovered there's a chemical that's sold at Home Depot and Lowe's in the hardware store. It's called Roundup. You ever heard of that?
Yes.
Well, guess what it's been shown to destroy? It destroys cholesterol sulfate on contact. Now, that doesn't mean that I completely understand every aspect of it, but oh boy, I believe it. And so you're gonna discover that people that drink Roundup every day, they probably lose their minds pretty quickly.
Anyway,
here's my sales pitch for you. And you're just going to have to take my word for it, all right?
Yes.
There are two food-based substances that I have discovered, if they are consumed in sufficient concentration, they will dissolve sulfur and burn it up and use it up where you don't have enough of it. It's called wheat and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you gave me time, I think I could scientifically produce enough literature to kind of support that. But I'm probably the only one that's going to talk about this stuff, but I love this topic. And so what I want to do is I want it to build the brain. I want to give it rich cholesterol sulfate. And I know what I'm about to say is going to be super radical, and you've never heard of this before, but rumor has it that eggs have sulfur and cholesterol in them. What do you think about that crazy idea?
That's right. I would agree if you eat the yolk.
One thing that I'll have a go at is the form of sulfur that's very easy for your doctor to measure or test on you is called homocysteine. Homo is spelled H-O-M-O, you know, like Homo sapien.
Mm-hmm.
And cysteine, I think it's spelled C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E.
Okay.
Homocysteine, but that's a blood test.
Mm-hmm.
It has been shown to be 40 times more predictive than a cholesterol test for heart disease and stroke. 40 times. You know what I think of? Why are we even doing cholesterol tests if homocysteine's 40 times more accurate? That's like 4,000%. I couldn't make these numbers up if I wanted to. Yeah, I could make them up. I'd say 14%, but 4,000 times? That's incredible. And so the number one test that I'm currently aware of, and I may not have all the knowledge. Believe me, if you know more, tell me. I'll be a learning machine for you. But when they find that homocysteine hits about 7.7 and gets higher than that, let's just say it goes from 7.7. If yours was 6.5, I'd say you are going to be the smartest woman in your family, and you're just going to live a long time and be healthy. But when homocysteine starts to eclipse or go above 7.7, that's where you find all the dementia, and that's certainly where you find all the Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And so the way the system is set up right now is, oh, your husband's lost his mind. Let's do an MRI. Oh, well, he's got a bunch of plaque in there. He's got Alzheimer's. And you're thinking to yourself, Well, why didn't somebody tell me this 10 years ago so I could have taken, you know, very accurate, precise steps or had a different plan to save my husband's brain? Because you know as well as I do, when it comes to the mind, you can get to the point of no return where you can't turn back, right?
True, yes.
Okay. If you will, if you don't do anything else by what I'm telling you, measure your homocysteine levels.
Okay.
Now, I got a little sales pitch here for you. I had a man, his name was Don, and when I say it was Don, I meant it like I said it. And Don liked me. And he said, "Roy, I want to take you out to lunch today." I said, I'm down with that action. Because we went to Stacy's Barbecue. It's no longer here. And so, I like meat. And so I ate meat. But what he did was, he had like two desserts. He had all the bread they offered. He had a starches, sugar, keep going. He might have had some brisket, but I don't know if a little bit of brisket is going to really make up for like a ton of sugar. But anyway, he wanted me to look at his blood test. I said, "Don, your homocysteine level's at 16.8, buddy." I said, "So you're gonna have..." And, you know, I'm saying this to you. I was probably much kinder and more tactical with him than what I am right now. But I said, "Don, you're going to have a stroke or a heart attack if you don't change." He said, "But I love this stuff." I said, "Well, do you want to live?" He said, "God will take care of me." He died 3 months later. And so I had a woman come to my office this week, and her first test of her homocysteine level was at 20. That's 20.020. And you don't know about that, but I'm going to tell you, that's high. And that ain't good. And so what she's going to let me do is she's going to let me just loosely replay our conversation that we had. She said, "Dr. Morgan, I felt like I was going to die. I felt bad, bad." And so she brought her follow-up homocysteine test. It was 9.5. And so can I just say, after this was a couple months, but what we used was yeah, I tried to twist her arm. "You will do this because I say so, young lady." But I had her take what's called methylated B vitamins. It's like methylcobalamin or methylfolate. And I'm telling you, this is a big deal. And guess what happened? She feels like $1 million now.
How much?
Well,
as much as 5,000?
Well, if you just take the manufacturer's recommended... Is that a new word? Recommended? Dose. Recommended dose. If you did that, we'd be good. And what that does is that gets rid of homocysteine. But I tell you, we're going to have to pick up this topic next week. But you really intrigued me. And I want to do what I can to really bless and help you. So I'll try to remember next week to talk about brain health and memory, okay?
Well, talk about this. What about L-theanine or theanine and GABA?
Well, the GABA is a neurotransmitter. It's like a brain relaxer. So when somebody's like wired up and they're like jittery all the time, mm-hmm. that's probably a GABA deficiency.
Oh, okay.
Gamma aminobutyric acid. And so, you know, my whole deal with the woman on the phone a while ago is I wanted to give this rich stuff to her mama, like halibut. I don't think she understood all of it because I didn't explain all of it, but I want to make it easy for her body to make all the GABA she needs so she can feel like $1 million.
Sure.
Anyway, but thank you for your phone call.
Thank
I appreciate
you
very
much.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good day, ma'am.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.